It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Five. Let's go.
Three.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we'll do that. I'm just peeking ahead here. Remember the thong song? Who can forget the thong song?
By Cisco.
Yes, by Cisco. Not the guy on BBM, by the guy Cisco. I want to say that, again, when your fresh-faced little 8-year-old daughter is singing that song to you, you're like, oh, my God. Well, the thong song like you've never heard it at number one. But before we get to that, more serious things.
Number five.
On the top five of five, which, of course, is the most important, interesting, or controversial, or funny things. And this is not. Nine people killed over the weekend in Chicago. That's the most homicides in any weekend so far this year, and the most on a February weekend, which are not known for multiple homicides because of the weather, generally, in 18 years. In 18 years. Now, and just an aside here for a second before we get to this. It's one thing that always bothers me. Here's a little something when you're watching the news and you hear police officials say, well, the weather really has nothing, or city officials say, the weather really has nothing to do with the murder rate. It has everything to do with the murder rate as well. It goes down in the winter, and they take credit for it going down. It goes on about the weather. It is. And this was a particularly bad February Saturday into Sunday. So today, the mayor had her weekly accountability meeting with police and said it was the first time that all 25 district commanders were called in. And she said, listen, things got to get better.
This weekend's crime numbers, where we saw so many homicides and we saw a lot of shootings, were incredibly distressing to me. I'm not gonna shy away from that. And I had a lot of very difficult conversations with CPD leadership over the course of the weekend, Monday and yesterday. And I challenged them that they have to be proactive. We brought in every single district commander yesterday to our weekly meetings, people that we don't normally see. And I was very clear with them that if they do not act in a proactive way to use the tools that are available to them, including community partners, that we are going to have a mess on our hands that eclipses some of the worst years of violence that we've seen in recent memory. I'm not about to let that happen, and I hope that they understood the challenge that's before them, but also the opportunity that's there. I'm confident that they will rise to the occasion, because they have to.
It's not just them, though. That's one of the arguments that is made by all mayors. I mean, Mayor Daley was really rough on the police department. People think, well, how's that true? It is absolutely true. Talk to anybody who would sit in those meetings. Mayor Daley used to turn a funny color when he would yell at the police. He would turn like police blue and yell the fire turn red. Nobody wants it. The mayors do not want this, right? Nobody wants it. No Chicagoan wants this. But it's not just up to the police department, because the police department are responding to what's happening. The report of shots fired. They cannot be everywhere at all times. And yes, there are community partners that you can help with. And there are people in the community that one would hope would be able to tip off police that there might be some impending violence somewhere. But it is also very much up to the system once arrests are made, especially with felons who are caught with guns and then back out on the street 24 to 48 hours later. That has got to stop. Speaking of that, Kim Fox will be here tomorrow on this very radio program. We'll talk to her about that. I'd like to know what the plan is for that. Because if we don't deal with people who have guns who shouldn't, we are never going to solve this problem. And some of these people are young. The one shooting, the one in Chinatown where there's a vigil being held right now for the two men who were shot in the head in Chinatown over the weekend. That was a case where they were the civilians, if you will, in a sense, because they were not, this was not a gang on gang kind of thing. This was an attempted robbery, and the guy shot both of these, accused shooter, shot both these guys in the head in order to get the money off of them. And this one of the gentlemen was carrying $10,000 on him because he was going to buy a car with it in cash. So that's an interesting subtext to this whole story. But the question is, he's 20 years old. How many other times has that guy been in trouble? And how many other times has that guy been caught with a gun? Those are questions that have to be asked. All right. We'll get to all of that. Your 4-3-2-1. But first, here's Lauren Lapko with a very extensive traffic and weather situation.
And when it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN TV. You're going to want to be watching him tonight. Not looking good.
Yeah, I think so. I just want to hear what Lauren has to say right now, just to get us through this thing. Because it ain't pretty.
We'll eventually be better.
That does not help. Because right now I'm freaked out for everybody who's on the road, because I'm looking out the window and I'm like, what in the hell? It's the visibility. And when it gets dark and then all you see is like the little snowflakes in front of your car, it's just, the whole thing is bad. I'm telling you, this is why my idea of doming the city is, it doesn't really do you much good out on the tri-state, but maybe we could expand it. Maybe if I get a big enough dome, the whole thing could work. All right, or a weather blower. I mentioned the Skilling once, and he said it was not possible, but I think we can come up with it. Something that just blows the weather towards St. Louis, or back towards St. Louis, or toward, I don't know, Indianapolis, some other town that we don't care about. All right, here we are. Top 5-5 continues.
Number 4.
Jesse Smollett was indicted by a grand jury on 6 counts of disorderly conduct and allegedly lying to police about his claim of a racist and homophobic attack against him in January of 2019. Earlier today, we spoke with Gloria Schmidt, who is the attorney for the Osandero brothers. Now, those are the guys who were with Jesse Smollett. And I asked, well, what were they taking part in a hoax, or did they know that Jesse Smollett was going to make literally a federal case out of this and some sort of grand sociological or political statement, or was it just a stunt?
In terms of planning this was a play, you know, this was a shoot. It was a choreographed stunt in front of a camera with the understanding that this was going to be a publicity stunt. Not that this was going to be meant as let's involve Chicago Police Department and divide the country further along political lines.
It somehow doesn't make me feel better. Does not. No, does not. But what's the motive?
What they had mentioned to me was that Jesse was going to show that to his studio people at Fox, like the Empire mm-hmm. staff.
Producers, yeah.
Right. That this related to the hate mail that he received like a few days before. He didn't get the response that he wanted from that, and so he wanted to stage this attack to show the studio, hey, you should take my fan mail more seriously.
And it's all resulted in this. I mean, right? This is the country's getting paralyzed by people who just don't like people criticizing them. All right. Checking in at
number 3.
Jim Carrey has a movie coming out. He's back on the press circuit. And you know, when Jim Carrey's on the press circuit, you never know what's going to happen, because the guy's not right. There's under any definition of the term right, he is not. He's going to be in Sonic the Hedgehog. Which I don't know. Richard Roper he's the critic. He'll figure it all out for us. But I'm telling you, man, there's something about that I just don't like. And is Sonic the Hedgehog the Sonic from the Sonic restaurants too?
No,
different.
It's from Sega game.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know he's originally from that. But isn't there some sort of little animal in the Sonic restaurants too? I mean, not like that kind of little animal.
The fast food Sonic?
Yeah.
I don't
That's
think
like
so.
A thing. Isn't there a Sonic? I thought there was like a thing.
You All mean right. the two guys that
no,
are always
no,
in the car?
No, there was an animal man, the whole thing. Anyway, that I die. I digress. The most important thing here is he sat down with an interview, and this is with a British interviewer, correct? This is in England, where the movie apparently is going to be coming out faster than it is here. And he was asked, hey, is there anything left on your bucket list?
And in the film, Sonic has a bucket list. And I was wondering, after all you've done in your career and in your life, is there anything still left on your bucket list?
Just you.
Oh, wow.
That's it. It's all done now.
I don't know what to say to that.
Just own it.
Okay, I'm owning it now. And bucket list.
Oh, God. Oh, that's creepy as hell.
I mean, he can't do it in 2020.
No, but he did. Well, he's doing it in England, though. I think they may have different rules. I'm not sure what goes on there. Maybe if he does it in England, it doesn't count here. Just you. Okay. Oh, okay. Security! Okay. Checking in at the most important number.
Number two.
I didn't even realize that I did that. A Kansas man is offering a nice chunk of change to help him find true love. Jeff Gephardt has started a website, datejeff.com. He's had it for 6 months, and he has not been working for him. So he came up with another plan. His plan is to offer some matchmaker $25,000 to find him true love. Now, I know there must be a lot of fine print in this kind of deal. And plus, if he gets true love, he's going to give another $25,000 to a no-kill pet shelter.
I don't want to go back to the normal app-based dating stuff. I think that a lot of people treat each other pretty poorly through that. And it's a toxic community. I kind of have a choice there, so I'm choosing not to do that. And I'm not a person that sits around and does nothing about something. I don't want to sit out. We all, as single people, try Bumble, Tinder, Hinge, whatever the latest is. But we only do it because that's all that's available to us. I'm trying to develop a better way.
Better way. Well, the internet is always the better way. Whatever you do, do it on the internet. Wait, there's more.
So I know that app-based dating is so bad that there's a certain segment of the demographics that choose not even to enter into it. I would never have the opportunity to meet these women. Not at the grocery store, not at the gym, not anywhere. And so this is my effort to reach out to those people who I feel are a lot like me.
Mm-hmm.
He should find someone in no time.
I don't know how many people are a lot like you if you're willing to spend $25,000 just to try and find, quote, a soulmate.
You could always go to Ecuador and try that.
It's a little weird, I get it. Like, adding money into something where I'm honestly interested in finding a soulmate. So, you have to look at it through a little different context. Dating is expensive, after all. Every month I spend X, okay? There's a lot of dates, dinners, drinks, axe throwing, whatever. So, we just took how much it took a month, basically, and how many months it would take to find a significant other through the current means. So we offered a reward for that, a referral fee.
Mm-hmm. Laura, axe throwing in his basement.
Yeah.
Would you like to see my axe throwing station? It's downstairs.
Right. And there's a shrine to you right next to it, which, by the way, also can accept the axe. I know Lauren's done it. Have you done it, Kevin?
I have not, but it's a hit. It seems like everybody's doing it.
Is that a date? Is that a good first date? I don't think that's a good first date.
It's something different to do, so maybe.
I don't think first date.
At first date, though? Do you really want to get, down with an axe on the first date if things don't go well?
Well, then you know if they're really good. Okay, maybe there's something creepy about this person and there's not going to be a second date.
He's mastered the art of axe throwing. He's like, hey, you want to meet at the axe throwing place?
I swear, this is my first time. I don't know how I just managed to get a bullseye every time.
Hey, blindfold me. Check it out. I'll still hit the bullseye. I'm pretty good at this. So you want to go on a second date?
I haven't done this to pictures of you in my basement. All right. Well, I think we wish him all the best of luck. It's a play. I mean, it's a move. He's got a move.
Okay, he's got an escape room after axe throwing in his basement. I can try that for the second date.
But you're going to have to find out where it is. Wait. If he puts her in like a cage, is that, and he comes down, is that the second date?
It's just an escape room.
Right.
Ha-ha.
Oh, God.
Number one.
Let me see that phone.
Ah, who can forget this? Cisco. Now, on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, the Backstreet Boys traded their 90s threads for striped blazers and straw hats for a performance of the barbershop quartet dubbed Ragtime Gals. Fallon joined the group while they did an extended, a remix of this?
Let me see that. Ooh, that dress so scandalous. And you know another fella couldn't handle it. And she's shaking that thing like who's the ish. And the look in your eyes so devilish. You like to dance on the hip-hop spots. And you cruise to the cruise to connect the dots. Not just urban, she likes that pop. Cause she was living la vida loca.
I don't know if that's a great way to sell the Backstreet Boy tour, the DNA tour, which is going to be pulling into the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on August 1st, just in case you were wondering. All right, let's close this thing up and get to the news, shall we?
The top five at five.